Today's scripture passage comes from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is thought of as being the Apostle Paul's last will and testament. And he has written it to a young pastor in the town of Ephesus. This is the second letter that he has written to Timothy. It's one of what's called the pastoral letters. Because he is giving Timothy advice on what needs to be done as a pastor to help shepherd and guide the people. So I would like for you to listen to these words with that in mind, starting in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, and I'll read down through verse 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Most likely, as Paul writes these words, he's in prison. And it's probably not long before he is put to death. And he's writing these words to help Timothy think about what he needs to do as a pastor. I will admit to you that both 1 and 2 Timothy are my favorite books of the Bible. Maybe you can figure out why. They are wonderful books. They are encouraging books, helping a pastor to know how to live as a pastor should. And one of the very first things that Timothy is encouraged to remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, the whole gospel, the complete. Sometimes I know as Baptists, we talk about the life of Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross, and we sing about bring people to the cross and bring them to the foot of the cross. But for me, that's only the middle part of the story. Because the life of Jesus Christ is important. What he did upon the cross to die for our sins is important. But the resurrection is just as important. That we do not have a dead Savior, we have a Savior that's alive. God not only has offered the sacrifice so that we could be at one with God, have our sins forgiven, and be cleansed, but God has victory over death. Amen? I mean, what a wonderful thing. Death is not the end. I come to the threshold of death and I walk through that doorway, and because I believe in what Jesus Christ has done for me, I will live for all eternity. It's just a doorway to walk through now. It's not an end. It's not the finished. It's not what's done. So I so much am thankful that the gospel contains not only the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, but also the resurrection of Jesus. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that because we come to places in our life where we feel as though this is it. There is no more. And I wonder what Paul felt as he was in prison, knowing that his death would probably be soon. No, I don't wonder. Because Paul writes here and says, Timothy, I encourage you to remember. And later in the passage where I've read already, he says, continue to remind people of this. Continue to bring it back to their memory. Continue to help them to remember all that Jesus Christ has done for them. We've got to keep that in focus. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ left heaven and left behind all of his rights and privileges as the Son of God and came here and walked upon this earth and was treated in a very ill way by some folks. And even today is still treated in a very ill way because people say, I don't need him. People have told me at times in my life, believing in God is a crutch. And you know what? It's a crutch that I can't live without. Because without Jesus Christ, you're not living. And you're not being who God wants you to be. So I'm thankful that Jesus says, I set aside my rights. And I come and die for you. He didn't deserve that. Not at all. But he did it because God loves us. God was looking out for our best interest. God loves us. And God said, a broken relationship with you is tough, and I'm going to fix it. And God fixed that broken relationship if people willingly accept what Jesus has done for them. You can refuse that gift if you want, and many have. But eternal life and salvation only comes from accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. That's the only way eternal life comes. That's the only way that salvation comes. Jesus says that on the last night with his disciples, doesn't he? Thomas says, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. We don't understand where you're going. And Jesus says to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. There is no way you can get salvation on your own. No way. And everybody still tries. It's only through Jesus Christ. This message, this very important gospel message that Paul has been sharing is the cause of Paul's suffering, for which he endures so more people can have salvation. Paul is not trying to figure out how to get out of his suffering. Paul says, I endure it. I live through it. I continue on this journey so that other people can come to know that they can have salvation. Now, sometimes we look at things different than what Paul does here. When hardships happen for us, when difficulties happen for us, when we suffer, sometimes we're trying to figure out how to get out of it, how to change it, how to modify it, and Paul says, because I've preached the gospel, I have these hardships. And because I want to see other people come to Jesus Christ, I will live through these hardships. I'm not going to try to get rid of them. Paul's in prison. He's not trying to get out. He says, I will live there. I wonder what happened to some of his guards. Because I'm willing to bet some of his guards came to Jesus Christ because he was in prison. He had an opportunity to share with them this gospel that he tells Timothy to remember and he tells Timothy to remind the people of. Now, this doesn't mean that we go out looking for suffering. That's not what that means. But when hardships happen, we live through them. We allow God to guide us and lead us through those hardships. What does Psalm 23 say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of I will, gosh, you guys are so good about memorizing scripture. I just said that because some of the people that tell me they can't memorize scripture. God's word's valuable. God's word needs to be held on to a way. One, because we can be reminded of what Christ has done for us. Two, we can be reminded that when these hardships happen, that we need to walk through them. It might mean salvation for somebody else. We might just need to endure them and walk through them. So here's what I see in Paul. Others' salvation is more important to Paul than being free from hardships. Other people's salvation is more important. Do you see that? Paul says, "This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul says, other people's salvation is more important than me getting out of hardships. Paul says, I spend more time bringing salvation to other people than I do figuring out how to fix this. And I know how I am, and you know how you are. When things are hard and difficult, I know exactly what my body's immediate reaction is and what my body wants to do. Let me tell you, my body wants to go take a nap. And hopefully when the nap is over, the hardship's gone. And I can sleep for hours hoping that hardship will go past. And what do I find when I wake up? Oh, it's still there. But the nap was good. I mean, that is my immediate reaction. I want to go take a nap and go to sleep for a while, and hopefully when I wake up, everything's okay. Paul says, I endure the salvation because other people are, I endure the hardship and the suffering because other people's salvation is more important than me getting out of the hardship. Do we have that perspective? Or are we spending all of our time and energy trying to figure out how to get out of the hardship? You see, Paul's perspective was different. He knew that people would be condemned for not believing in Jesus Christ. And sometimes this story comes even bigger to me because I've told you before, I got to age 18 before anybody ever told me about Jesus Christ and what he did for me and how to achieve salvation. For 18 years, I didn't know the story. And I know some of you would think, how is that possible with churches all over the place? I knew about churches, but I didn't know about Jesus Christ and what he'd done for me. I knew about people that went to church, but I didn't know about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own thing that we don't tell other people about how to get salvation. And Paul says, I'll willingly be in jail so that people can be saved. I'll willingly experience hardships. And then he gives us these words that I hope they're shocking to you, because these words should be shocking to you, because it doesn't flow like you expect it to. I'm going to read them again, and this is verses 11, 12, and 13, where Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying. Most likely, it may have been a hymn that they sang in church, and we don't have the music to it. Jerry's going to write the music for it this week. Is that right? Okay. Jerry's going to write the music for it this week. And who do you want to sing it next week? It'll be an instrumental. Listen to these words. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he also disowns us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And it's that last two lines. They're like, wait a minute. You were saying this and this, this and this, this, and then all of a sudden you kind of change it. If we are faithless, Jesus Christ remains faithful. He doesn't do the same thing that we do. And that just, every time I read that, it just gets me. That Jesus Christ will always remain faithful. And remember last week I talked about sometimes the church answer is, what do we need to do? Well, we need more faith. And anytime anybody says that, I always look at them and say, well, what does that mean? And nobody's ever been able to answer that question. Well, you know, we need more faith. Well, no, no. What does that mean to have more faith? It means to be more right in your relationship with God. To live your relationship with God in a more right way, in a deeper way, in a more profound way. But what does this hymn say, possible hymn? If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He's always going to live right in trying to deepen a relationship with us. Always. Even when we walk away, even when we decide we're not going to live more right. So the next time you hear somebody say, well, we just need more faith, help them to understand that means living a relationship with God in a more right way. That's what it means. Well, how do we endure? The enduring for the sake of other people, the enduring and the going through, how do we continue to do that? First off, he says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. How many times have you quarreled with words? And right here, Paul says, don't do it. Don't do it. Because it only ruins everybody who does it. And it ruins those who are around listening. You want to destroy your Christian witness? Argue with somebody. And let other people hear it. Do you think they're going to listen to you when you tell them about the words of eternal life? But for me, the answer comes in verse 15. How do we do this? How do we endure? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. We endure by continuing to deepen ourselves in the very word of God. We endure by continuing to learn more about the Word of God and understanding and putting the words that we learn from the Scriptures into practice in our lives. That's how we do that. We continue to deepen in it. Sometimes we treat books or we treat Bibles as just any other book. Sometimes that's the way we treat it. I personally think of my Bible as one of those kids' 3D pop-up books. You open the page and, you know, things fold out. And there's something that you can adjust, and there's something you can pull on. There's something, the words, when we read our Bibles, the words should be coming up off the page into our lives. Not just be flat words on a page. You see, handling the Word of God correctly can help Christians have this proper vision for suffering and enduring. When I realize and understand that Jesus is my example to follow, and I read the Gospels about how He did things, shouldn't that help me endure? Shouldn't that help me to say suffering is okay if it's going to help other people? Understanding the Word of God and knowing it deeply and letting it affect your life can give you this proper vision, this vision that we need for suffering and for enduring. Now, once again, I'm not talking about going out and looking for suffering and for hardships and problems, but for every person, suffering and hardships are going to happen, right? They are going to happen. What is your perspective on them? If your perspective is, I will walk through them. I remember the three guys that led me to Christ. Hey, Eric, what did you get on? What grade did you get on your test? Oh, I got a D. Didn't change their happiness at all. They just endured through it and said, I need to learn more. And I have met other people with physical problems that you would never know they actually had physical problems unless somebody told you. And they've had the brightest spirit, and they've had the willingness to reach out and help people. When sometimes you would go, you know what? If I were living in that situation, I wouldn't make it. I couldn't last. And sometimes these people never let you know that they've got a problem, because they want to help you first. Isn't that the perspective we should have? Helping other people first, instead of putting ourselves first. Just endure what we have to go through. Now, I know for some of you, you're going to tell me, this is incredibly difficult to handle God's Word well and to present myself to God as a person who knows God's Word well. You can do it if you'll open your Bible and just read it. If you'll just open it and read it, it can happen. Now, I know some of you will look at me and you will say, well, you went off to seminary and you learned about all this stuff. My Bible knowledge and my Bible understanding just came from a day-by-day time of being in God's Word. Do you want to know what some of my seminary classes taught me? It taught me how messed up I was and how much I needed God's Word more. It didn't always explain God's Word. It showed me what I needed more and how I needed to get deeper into God's Word. Now, seminary did give me some resources to know how to study better. But you have availability of all the same resources that I have. All of them. Just a day-by-day interaction with God's Word. Opening it up and reading it, spending some time in it. Handling God's Word properly is more than possible for every Christian. And you see, it's piece by piece that this can be done. Piece by piece, this can be done if we gain the heart God has for salvation for all people. God does not, and I want to make this very, very clear, God does not want to send anybody to hell. And the book of Revelation tells me that hell was never created with the intent of people going there. It says that hell was created for the intent of imprisoning Satan and the demons. And some people choose that's the path they're going to live. And God says, okay, you chose it. It was never God's intent for that. God's intent throughout all of Scripture is for all people to be saved. Even the person that treats you in the worst possible way, God wants them to be saved. Even the most horrible of people throughout history, God wants them saved. And we need to see people that way because we got the story. How would, and this comes from the definition of Fred Craddock about preaching. Fred Craddock was probably one of the best preachers there is and wrote a number of books about how to preach. And he said that preaching is only one thing. Preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. That's all preaching is. Can you preach? Yes. Some of you have been mothers, right? Raise your hand if you've been a mother. Every one of you knows how to preach if you're a mother. Preaching is just telling, is one beggar saying, I found food. You want to see where I found it? And we need to be out there preaching to people where to find spiritual food. And enduring whatever hardships we have to do that. I'm going to ask you this. What next step should you take to better handle God's word and endure for the sake of others? What next step do you need to take? Action. Putting something into practice. If you were to come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know God's word well. Well, my advice, take 5 minutes every day just to read a piece. 5 minutes. It's not that long. I have a tendency at home to, there's some home chores that I don't like doing. I don't know about you. Maybe you guys enjoy doing home chores. One of the home chores that I really don't enjoy doing is emptying the dishwasher. Do you know it only takes a minute? It only takes 1 or 2 minutes to completely empty the dishwasher and put everything away. And here I am lamenting about this chore, and I can spend more time lamenting than doing it. And sometimes we lament that we don't spend enough time in God's Word. All you got to do is sit down and open your Bible and take 5 minutes. And if you do 5 minutes a day, it will change your life. It will. And you can do what Paul is asking Timothy to do. Just 5 minutes. Every day. Don't miss it. Every day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of Paul. for the way that he's able to show what needs to be done to a young pastor. But Lord, just because he wrote this letter to a young pastor doesn't mean that we can't listen in on it, that we can't learn from it. So Lord, please, help us to really think about when we spend so much time trying to get out of hardships and suffering that maybe sometimes it's the process of us enduring those hardships that can help other people see what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe sometimes we just need to endure as we speak to others about how to come to Christ. Because there's many people in this world, Lord, that do not know how to do it. Of all ages, it's not just the children and the youth of our world, but it's people of all ages who need to hear your message. So help us, guide us, to be people that will think first about others and their salvation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.